Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you.
The devil is in trouble.
Yes.
Amen. He knows that he's about to be exposed. And that's the resistance. I just laugh it off.
Amen.
Listen, I do not back off from no evil. And I can tell you this morning that Satan cannot intimidate me.
Amen.
I have fought many battles. And I've seen many things. Doubts have left me a long time ago. It is no longer a matter of believing. It is a knowing. And I cannot be convinced otherwise that there is a king that is far above any other, and that his name is Jesus Christ, and that I stand in God with this king, that I am a God carrier, and that his power is at work on the inside of me. I'm telling you this morning that I've got words burning in my heart like fire shut up in my bones. And today I'm going to bring this enemy of ours down. He will be humiliated. He will be taken out. And his voice will be muted.
Amen.
And it's time for us as believers to develop a warrior mentality. Let me get into the message. Are you excited to be at church? Encounter Church. It's nice being back with you this morning. I'm excited for what God is about to do. And before I get into this message, listen, who enjoyed the message last week Sunday? It was a heavyweight message. And I think many have, I don't know, if that message will either make you or save you. Amen. I believe that many eyes have gone open. It was a difficult message for me to deliver, and nonetheless, it was very necessary at the time and for the season. And so before I get into the message for this morning, I first would like to say that I greatly honor and respect the spiritual authority over this house, both Pastor Leon and Pastor Esther Liverpool. Is the sound okay? Is it too loud? Is it okay? Amen. I thank them for once again entrusting me this morning to take the pulpits and so to minister the word of God that I love so much on each and every one of you. Amen. Now there's quite a bit that I need to cover in this morning, and my time is already almost out. And I'm going to try and rush through this. So let's get right into it. But before I get into this message, I just want to ask you to be in unity with me. To be one in spirit with me this morning. Can I ask that? Open your spirits, open your hearts, open your spiritual ears. Do not allow the enemy to come in now and steal this message from you. I believe that many, if not everyone, will be able to relate with these words, with this message, and that many, if not everyone, will be saved. In some dimensions in their lives, there will be deliverance taking place. Amen. Put on the screen, I'm just going to get right into it because there's quite a bit that I need to cover. Put on the screen for me 2 Samuel chapter 16 verse 23. King James Version, right? Okay, are you guys ready for this word?
Yes.
Amen. I have officially upgraded. That's now next level preparation taking place.
Amen.
And there's an amen there. Let's see how this works. I don't know, I'm getting used to this. I've got this thing with reading something boring. It's a psychological thing. The moment that you read something boring, people connect it with something boring. They think that you're sitting in a class and it's like listening to the lecture, so automatically your mind just tells you this is boring. Amen. Well, in fact, all that I'm doing is I'm reciting my entire message. That's what you do not know. That connects a few people. Nonetheless, I will be interacting with a few people in this morning. Now listen, don't let the enemy take this word from you. They will feel even a quarter way through, even some sitting here right now is feeling tired. And your mind is feeling clouded. And you're feeling, you can't even hear what I'm saying right now. Be careful that the enemy not to come in and pull a veil over your eyes. If you're sitting here right now and you're feeling like that's, you know, that feeling you get in your mind, it's like you cannot take something in. The enemy does not want you to hear this. Amen? You guys with me? Now, it says, and the counsel of Ahithophel, of which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the oracles of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now say Ahithophel. There's many different ways that you can actually pronounce this name. I'm just going to stick with the one that's most prominent, and that is Ahithophel. Say Ahithophel. Now, I need to give you some history, Bible history. Can I give you some? It's a teaching. Amen. You want class? So I am entitled to read something off. Is that okay? I'm going to try and teach this morning. Let's see if it works. Now, I'm going to give you some biblical history on this character called Ahithophel so that you can understand in more clarity what I'm trying to say. Amen? Now, Ahithophel was a counselor. He was a very wise man, a very intelligent man. In fact, the Bible calls this man, this man was renowned for his sagacity. And so, when Absalom rebelled against that of David, he decided that he's gonna leave King David and that he's gonna join forces with that of Absalom. Now I believe that last week Sunday Pastor Leon went into great detail on the story of Absalom for those who joined and the rebellion that have taken place. I'm not gonna get into that this morning, but I need to make mention of it because Ahithophel was the counselor involved in this rebellion. He was the one giving advice on how to execute the battle plan. Amen. And so what David did during this time, when the battle plan was being planned, David had another counselor by the name of Hushai. And so he sent this counselor to Absalom to counteract the advice and the counsel of Ahithophel, because Ahithophel recommended an immediate attack against David's camp at the point where he was at his most vulnerable. Here I go again. At the point where he was at his most vulnerable. Amen. And so Hushai recommended that, listen, the advice and the counsel of Ahithophel at this time is not the best advice. And that he recommends that they rather delay the attack so that they can increase the numbers of their army so that when they face David, they will be able to counter his alleged strength, which was not there at the moment. And so what David did next was something worth taking note of. He brought the matter before the Lord in prayer. The Bible says that he brought it before the Lord in prayer when he found out about this rebellion taking place. And then the Lord purposed to defeat the counsel, the good counsel of Ahithophel. And so Hushai's advice was rather taken. And so when Ahithophel saw that, listen, his advice was not going to be followed, due to Hushai's influence, the Bible says that he thought in his heart that the rebellion is going to fail. His advice is not being followed, so that this rebellion will fail. It's not going to happen. And so he immediately left the camp of Absalom. The Bible says he went back home. And after getting his homely affairs back into order, he committed suicide by hanging himself. And so he was buried with his fathers. And so many times, Ahithophel is seen as a type of Judas. The Cambridge Bible for Schools and Scholars actually scores his suicide as the first deliberate suicide on record. Amen? And so Ahithophel's betrayal to David and his subsequent suicide is many times seen as an anticipation of Judas's betrayal to Jesus and the Gospel's account of Jesus hanging himself. You guys with me? And so you need to understand the Bible calls this man a very intelligent human being. He had a lot of wisdom. And when you would meet with this man, you will think that you actually met with the true prophet of God. The Bible calls him a very intelligent man with a lot of wisdom. Listen, God just gives some people the grace for wisdom, as with Ahithophel. But this was a dangerous man. He only used his wisdom for himself. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 325. Let's see if I'm right. This is not in my notes. I'm not reciting notes for some. This is coming from it's very well known scripture. We all know this. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Understand that if you have someone in your camp that is against you, it can cause the destruction of the entire camp. That rebellion, that disrespect, and that disunity, as you have heard last week Sunday, carries the power and the potential to destroy the entire camp. As was the case with Ahithophel. He was a man that did, listen, he was in unity with no one. He only lived for himself. He only cared about himself. In fact, the name Ahithophel, this word means brother of foolishness and ruin. And so although on the outside he had all this wisdom and all this knowledge, a very intelligent man, the name itself revealed and exposed what was lying deep inside of our hearts. And so this morning we're going to greatly expose this word called Ahithophel. The way that he speaks, the way that he operates, and how to silence his voice. How to kill the spirit called Ahithophel. Amen? Are you guys ready for this? So the first thing that you need to understand, the first thing that you need to understand about Ahithophel is that the spirit comes in two ways. Point number one, it comes through man. For those taking notes, it comes through man. Majority of the time, it comes through man. Amen? Understand that Ahithophel was one of David's closest of counselors. But like Balaam that is spoken of in the Bible, his great wisdom was not taken with humility as a gift from heaven, and so became a stumbling block to him. Amen? Became a stumbling block to him. This man was very diligent. He had a lot of wisdom. But his wisdom became a stumbling block to him. You have to understand that this man had a way with words. The Bible says that the counsel of Ahithophel was so great and so good, it looks so good, that you will think that you've met with the true prophet of God. In fact, the Bible says that his counsel will be like you have just inquired of the oracles of God. Amen? Maybe put that same verse for me in the Message translation. Look at this. Not that one. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, if possible. Listen to this. The counsel that Ahithophel gave in those days was treated as if God himself had spoken. That was the reputation of Ahithophel's counsel to David. It was the same with Absalom. So the Bible says here that when Ahithophel would speak to you, give you counsel, or give you advice, it was treated and seen in the same way, that as if God himself gave you the advice, God himself is speaking to you, and God himself is giving you the counsel. But now this pride consumed him. His great wisdom and intelligence consumed him, and pride came into his heart. Amen? And so, although his wisdom was good, it came out of a bad heart. Are you guys with me? His wisdom came out of a bad heart. It came out of a foolish place. and brought forth nothing but destruction and ruin to those around him and to himself. Amen. Listen. You need to be aware of the spirit called Ahithophel. It is a spirit of wisdom that have and can destroy many people. The spirit will cause you to think that God is speaking to you. The spirit will cause you to think that God is speaking to you. When the counsel of Ahithophel was displayed, many people would mistake his speech by thinking God was speaking, but God was not speaking. The spirit had led many to make wrong decisions. The spirit had led many to make wrong decisions to such an extent that their lives was almost completely destroyed. The spirit will bring confusion that will cause you to make mistakes, especially in your business place, in your workplace, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your finances, in every dimension, in every aspect of your life. This thing will bring confusion and will cause you to make mistakes. Amen? Be very careful of this spirit. The spirit will give you counsel. You will think that God is giving you counsel, but it's not God speaking. It is not God speaking. The same with Job. What happened to him? When he lost everything. He lost his house. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost every possession that he had. Everything was taken away. And then men of God came to him and said that, listen, Job. Listen, this can only be possible because you've done something against God. The advice is good. It's good advice. It is even real, it's even true. Because the word says that if you turn against me or you depart from my ways, then destruction will come upon you. I will no longer be able to protect you. If you depart from my ways, I will no longer be able to protect you. All the signs are there, Job. It has got to be because you have sinned against God. There's no other reason for this. The advice is true, but they were in the natural, couldn't understand what was taking place in the spirit, where the facts was not real. It was, in fact, the wrong advice. Amen? It was, in fact, the wrong advice. And so, there are three ways that you can recognize. I need to rush through this quickly. The second way that the spirit comes in is through your own thoughts. So the first one is through man, and the second is through your own thoughts. Now, listen tonight. You do not want to miss. Now, listen, I'm serious now. Everyone is dealing with the thing that we're going to touch on tonight. Every single believer. If there's some area that I have got a lot of knowledge on and experience in, it is in thought patterns of your life. The problem with many people is that they do not understand that there's four dimensions of your thought life. And these four dimensions is what forms what is called strongholds. I just want to give you a bit of a teaser for tonight, if that is okay. Now, many people connect demonic activity with strongholds. The moment I say stronghold, you immediately think demonic. You need to understand that a stronghold can also be a godly thing. Many people struggle with many thoughts, but many are too ashamed to go for counsel, to open their mouth to say that, listen, I'm having these thoughts, I don't know why. There's certain cycles in my mind, thought patterns that's going on, I cannot understand why I'm thinking certain things. It makes no sense to me. It's destroying me. It's leaving me with paralyzing fear, and that I'm anxious and worried, and I don't know what to do. It is called a demonic stronghold. And I'm going to get into great detail with this thing. You need to understand that, let's say for example, 70% of your life is under God's word. It means that 70% of your life is in light, under His governance, under His authority. And that is a godly stronghold. The enemy can no longer come in because there's light. But that means that 40% is still in ignorance and in the dark, and under the demonic stronghold and influence of some sort. But how is that possible, Martin? It's very easy. The Bible says that you will prosper in every dimension, in every area of your life. But some only apply that scripture to some areas and parts of their life. For example, let's say that your health is in perfect order. You do not battle with your health. means that that part is under the word of God, under His authority, under God's holy strongholds. The enemy cannot attack your health because you've got this revelation, you know that I'm healthy. But yet in your finances you are struggling, yet in your business space you are struggling, yet in your marriage you are struggling, meaning that part is yet in dark and under demonic influence and still needs to be saved. I will get into this tonight, do not miss it. And so the second way that the Spirit comes in is through your thoughts. These are demonic suggestions and thoughts that look so good. It looks like the truth. It sounds right, but it is not God speaking. It is not God speaking. Come on now, how many times have people not said the following? That God have told me to do this. How many people have not made choices thinking that God have told them to do it? Just to find out later on that God in fact did not speak. And it was in fact not the right choice. And that choice now left them in great peril. I have counseled countless of people that I've sat and they would say, Martin, but God have told us to do this, this, and this. And everything is up in flames. We cannot understand it. Our lives is almost completely destroyed. It does not make any sense. God have told me to leave the church. God have told me to leave the evil. And to go to what? God have told me to move from this place to that place into a new job, which I don't even know if I'm going to get it. So now I'm cutting off my only source of income, going, it makes no sense. There's something called common sense that you cannot take out of the equation. Many people want to get super spiritual and common sense leave. And then sense is not common anymore. This voice is very subtle and I need you to understand how this thing speaks. And how you recognize this voice so you can shut it up and make the right choices in life. This voice will bring confusion to cause you to make mistakes. You will think God is speaking to you, but it's not God speaking. And then I will dig in a little bit deeper just to find out. I'll ask a few questions and then I'll tell them, this and this is not God, this is not God. No, so in fact, God did not speak to you. You've made the wrong choice. For example, you have in your heart for a while that I should no longer work here. I should go work at another place. And one morning you're busy praying and God drops it in your spirit that I want you to quit, go find a new job. Now that voice even can be of God. No doubt. That, at that moment is God speaking, yeah, it's true. But now this is what I hear the false spirit does. Now you're thinking, God now said that I must quit my job and go find another job. So tomorrow morning I'm going to go back to my workplace, I'm going to resign, I'm going to leave. I'm going to cut off my only source of income. I'm going to leave and then find something else. There's something called wisdom. Common sense. Amen? God will never do the things in that way. Meaning the way that God, that you need to interpret this message is that, okay, I'm first going to look for another job. Because if it is of God, the doors will open. It will happen easily. Understand that if you battle to make something work, listen to this, if you struggle at it, and it feels like everything is just resisting you the whole time, and it's normally a sure sign that what you're busy with is not of God, if you do not have peace over the choice that you need to make, it is normally a sign that this is not of God. Because the Spirit of God will always bring peace. Always, and things will happen naturally. It will just easily flow. It will just fall into place. Like when I resigned and had to come here, it just happened naturally. There was no resistance, everything just flowed. Listen, you have to be careful and be sensitive to what God says. So now what you do is you find another job, and then you go back, you do it the right way, you resign and say, then you step out of one source of income and you enter into another source of income. That's wisdom. Are you guys with me? This thing will tell you otherwise. You will think God is speaking to you. It will twist the word of God to remove you from the things of God. Amen. Say Ahithophel. Be careful of the spirits. You see, that wasn't in my notes, and I'm confused with where I am. So many people make decisions and it's not God speaking. So what happens now is you find yourself in a place where you no longer know what to do. You start to doubt yourself. Listen, the Ahithophel spirit comes in with a weapon to do two things. And this weapon, point number one, is to cause you to doubt yourself. And secondly, to cause you to doubt the things of God. Because this is actually what happens. Now you thought that you heard God speak, you act upon that voice. And then everything is up in flames, it's chaos. Nothing is working out. What do? You doubt yourself. Did I not really hear from God? No, you didn't. Amen? You didn't. The fact that everything is up in flames in your life tells me that you didn't hear from God. Amen? Or we acted wrongly on what God told you. Can be either or. Amen? And so you find yourself in a place where you don't know what to do. You don't know what is your thoughts anymore. You don't know what is not your thoughts. You don't know what's the enemy, what is not the enemy. You don't know what's the right choice, what is the wrong choice. You don't know what to think and what not to think. You're not confused. You find yourself in a place called the Valley of Decision. The Bible speaks of this valley in the book of Joel chapter 3 verse 14. And it says multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. Now the Bible says that there are many people that is caught up in this Valley of Decision. It is a valley of confusion. For many have started off strong. They have had a goal before them. They have set out to accomplish this great task. But now it seems like this thing is no longer going to work out. And you get confused. And you no longer know whether I should turn to the left, to the right, go forward, or maybe I should even go back to Egypt. This Ahithophel spirit will remove you from the things of God. There's many sitting here even in this morning, and you're confused. You find yourself in this valley of confusion. The valley of decision is a place of confusion because there's many things taking place in the valleys of life. Amen? And so many have reached a place where they don't know what to do. And all that you find yourself within is drowning slowly in an ocean of despair, worry, and fear. You don't know what to do. Many have hit what we call the spiritual bottle and you've lost control of the vehicle. Come on, we can only use that in South Africa. Only South Africans will understand that. And you've lost control of the vehicle. And because of these bad experiences, it seems easier to keep up rather than to continue. It's exactly what Ahithophel wants. He wants you to give up. Amen? He wants you to give up. I want to tell you this morning that you might be on foot, but that you are still moving. Listen, that Allah has thrown at you everything that it possibly could. But you are still here this morning, and you're still so strong. With your hands raised up high, and worshiping and praising God. Allah has come at you with everything that it possibly can. But I want to tell you this morning that He's exhausted all of His resources. He cannot create. He's running out of resources. You are still here going strong. Amen? Not above a point, but anyway. Almost wanted to preach, then let me stop right there and go back into teaching. So, the Valley of Decision, it's a place of confusion. Where you don't know what to do. And you need to get out of this place. The only way that you get out of this place by the word of God. Amen. Listen, when this wisdom comes upon you, the wisdom of Ahithophel, things will look right, it will look like the truth, but it's the brother of foolishness speaking towards ruin to your life. The Bible speaks, I'm not even started yet. I can preach this thing till tonight. Listen. Bible speaks of a man of God that was sent out of the house of Judah. I'm not going to put it on because of time. I'm just going to tell you my version of the story. Is that okay? It speaks of a man of God that was sent out of Judah to a place called Bethel. Now, God gave this man specific instructions. He said that, listen, do not eat anything, do not drink anything, and do not return on the same way that you've gone to Bethel. And so we led to Bethel. At Bethel, there was a king named Jeroboam. He was an evil king, wicked king. He was in idol worship, in cultic practices. Amen. He raised two calves. He placed one in Bethel, the other one in Dan. Amen. Sorry, we were saying this joke. I'm trying to keep on laughing. Another one in Dan. So when he reached this place, Jeroboam was about to bring a sacrifice of incense. He was about to do it when this man of God arrived to the scene. And this man prophesied to the altar. He wasn't even speaking to the king. He wasn't even speaking to anyone standing there. He was prophesying to the altar. And he said, altar, altar, a son will be born out of the house of David. And his name will be Josiah. And then the priest of the high places will be burned upon you. He's speaking to the altar. And then bones shall be burned upon you. And the sign that the Lord will give, that what I'm saying in this day is of God, will be that this altar will be destroyed and the ashes thereof will be spilled over. Meaning that this Josiah, that later became king at the age of 8, will be sent and to destroy all the demonic altars. And so when this man of God released the word of God, speaking so boldly, the Jeroboam reached over, stretched his hand forth and said, seize him. And when he did this, the Bible says that his hands cried up, that he couldn't pull it back. As he reached out against that which was of God. And then Jeroboam asked, he pleaded with this man of God and said that, listen, intercede for me on my behalf before God, admitting that there is a true living God, that he will heal me. And so he did. And his hand was restored. And this miracle, they didn't even face this king. He just said that, listen, come back with me to my house and I'll give you anything that you want. Listen up to this. This man was sent with a purpose and a task. God spoke. The instructions he said is, do not eat, do not drink, and do not go back on the same way that you have gone. And so this king says, come with me to my house. I hear the boss speaking. Refresh. You look tired. The journey's been long. It sounds right. It sounds good. And he said, God forbid that I do this. And even if you give me half of your house, I will not take it. Not out of disrespect, but because God said, do not eat, do not drink, and do not go on the same back that I have come. And so we left. But then, now listen what happened next. There was an old prophet living nearby. And his sons came to him, telling him the story of the events that have taken place. And so this prophet went after the man of God and he met him along the way. And he said, that, listen, come back to me with my house. And the man said the same thing. No, God said, I should not eat, nor drink, nor go back on the same way that I've gone to Bethel. And the man said, but am I not a prophet like yourself? Meaning that, listen to this, meaning that this man of God did not know this prophet. He didn't know him. Because he said, am I not a prophet like yourself? Come with me, because God have told me that you should come with me. And the Bible says, but he lied. And so he followed him. Serious? So Ahithophel here came through this man and started speaking to the man of God in sports. It looks right. He says he's a prophet. Okay, I'm going to follow him. He went back home with him. And then while they were having dinner, the word of the Lord really came onto this prophet. And then they prophesied over the man of God and said, because of your disobedience, you will not live to see another day. Your carcass will not be found, and you will not be buried with that of your fathers. And he left on his donkey, and the Bible says that a lion met with him and tore him completely apart. The moment that this Ahithophel spirit speaks, and you take heed to its counsel, it will remove you from the things of God. You will stand bare open. The Bible says that the devil walks around like a lion, seeking who he may devour. He will take you apart and rip you to pieces, all because you thought God spoke to you. Amen. So, this is how you recognize the voice of Ahithophel. Maybe I should stop. You guys stop with me. This is how you recognize the voice of Ahithophel. Three ways. Point number one, Ahithophel will give direction that seems correct, but in actual fact it is wrong. Understand that Ahithophel, like the above story, will always give you wrong direction. And so you will absolutely have to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can be accurately led in prayer on what to pray and how to pray. Amen. This Ahithophel spirit will come and tell you that things are going to be okay when it's not. This Ahithophel spirit will tell you that you have reached your goal in prayer, when in fact it was just before your point of breakthrough, just before your hour of visitation, that you have left and so have missed your hour of visitation. When the Spirit speaks to you, you will think that God is speaking to you. Listen, when the Spirit went into Judas, he saw money as greater than Jesus. Let me calm down. Could not just speak for me NIV version. Listen to this. John chapter 12, from verse 3 to verse 5. NIV version. John chapter 12, from verse 3 to verse 5. Listen to this. I'll maybe close over this, because of time. And it says, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Go on. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Go on. Saying, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Judas was a very intelligent man. He was an accountant to the level where he had the ability that he could put value to the perfume that Mary had casted out over Jesus' feet. No one told him the worth, but yet he replied that it was worth a year's wages, and we could rather have sold it and give it to the poor. This advice seems good. It is good advice. This is intelligent wisdom because the advice is wise. Come on now, it seems right. But Ahithophel is behind it. Amen. This woman poured out this oil upon his feet. And Judas replied, we could have sold it and given it to the poor. Now what I'm about to say next is not to condemn anyone, it's not to manipulate. Because I can already hear the thoughts. So if you feel condemned now or manipulated, it's your fault. But I need to give this to you so that you can understand the subtle way that this thing speaks. Many times, just before you have given that tithe, just before you have, and I should have maybe taken the offering now. Second offering. Many times, just before you have given that tithe, or sown that seed, or made that offering of finances, the spirit of Ahithophel will come into many and he will say, wait. You can rather do this or that with this money. Shouldn't you rather pay off your bills? It's good advice. It's good advice. That's wisdom. Amen. But what you do not know is that Ahithophel is speaking to you. Because as I've explained, that when you tithe and give the full tithe, that the 10% carries the 90%. That the survival of the 90% is dependent on the 10%. And that as long as you keep the 10%, that the 90% will be protected and will be insured. And in what happened at that point when you let him retract and say, yes, you know what, I'm rather going to pay up my bills. Ahithophel robbed you of a blessing. Of the greatest breakthrough that God was about to pour over your life. Very subtle. How do you contradict his voice by bringing in the word of God? Amen. If you at that moment would understand scripture and principles, you would say, but listen, this doesn't make sense. I'm giving for the purpose to be blessed. I'm giving for the purpose so that the rest of the 90 can be blessed. I'm giving because this is owed to God. Amen.
Are you guys with
me? Go on. And so she broke this over Jesus' feet. And Judas said, but listen, we could have sold it and given it to the poor. And this is what Jesus answered in reply. Put on verse 7 for me. Listen to this. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Now, listen, I want you to think about this for a moment. He says, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Doesn't make sense. She just broke it and poured it out, but it was intended for the day of his burial. So now what does it mean? It was intentional. It was established within eternity and within heaven, ordained for a time such as this, that the perfume should have been poured out over his feet right then and right there. Jesus died on the cross on a Friday. Now, the Israelites have their day of worship on a Saturday known as the Sabbath. And so he was taken off late the afternoon on a Friday. No work was to be done on the Sabbath day. And so they quickly wrapped him in linen and cloth and placed him without the tomb, which was not according to custom because they did not yet anoint the body. So that he was placed in the tomb without being anointed because of time. It was Sabbath. And that is why Mary and the others went back on the third day to go and anoint his body because they had not yet done so. Only to find that the stone was rolled away and an angel sitting upon the stone saying, who are you looking for? For the one that you seek have already risen. Understand that he, listen, this woman that broke and poured out the perfume over her feet, over his feet, she was anointing Jesus in that box. Yet Judas said that, listen, we could have sold the perfume and given the money to the poor. There will always be those that will come and say that we would rather have done this, or rather have done this, or that. But you need to understand that Ahithophel will always tell you that something is not important, yet it carries destiny. Amen? Second way that you can hear the Spirit speak is Ahithophel will both speak and guide you away from the things of God. Now again, I'm just going to quickly just tell you the story because there's no time to read the scriptures. I can give you the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, from verse, you don't have to put this on, it's for those taking notes. Acts chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 13, it's very well known, I've preached on this before, where Jesus gave the disciples a great commandment and he said that, listen, go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, until you are baptized in my spirit. Amen. And so after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they then left and spoke the word of God in boldness. They all spoke in different languages. That there's some people in the region thought that they were crazy. The Bible actually says that people thought that they were filled with new wine. Many believers will come into the church, new visitors, and they will come in while the congregation is busy praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, as we do, before a service starts. And they will think that, listen, what is wrong with these people? I've heard this many times. Are they crazy? That is the voice of Ahithophel that wants to bring nothing but ruin onto you. Because Ahithophel understands the power that is praying in tongues. Because he knows that the moment that you start to pray in tongues, that his advice will be replaced with godly advice. You don't underestimate it when you pray in other tongues. At that moment when you're having that thought, but these people are crazy, shut him up. And rather say that I want a part of this. What is this? I want what they have got. Because I guarantee you that when you start to pray in the spirits, that the Holy Spirit will step in and crush every thought of Ahithophel. He will destroy every counsel and every advice that have come by Ahithophel. It will not stand. It will have no ground. It will surely be taken out. Amen. Point number three, Ahithophel will steal your peace and cause you to become fearful and anxious by creating scenarios that seems impossible to get out of. Put on the screen for me 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31. King James, 2 Samuel chapter 15, 1-5, verse 31. And it says, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Wow. What did he do? Listen. When the counsel of Ahithophel was given, it was regarded as if God himself spoke. And David knew that since Ahithophel have joined those that is fighting against him, that his good and wise wisdom will surely stand. Because David had taken as if God is speaking. And he actually became fearful. And so he turned to the counselors of counselors, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the only true living God. And he said, oh God, I pray, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. What he did at that time was to ask, to reveal what was in Ahithophel's heart, to reveal the foolishness, and that his words will be carried by what is in his heart. And it was activated in eternity. And his advice was not taken. Amen? This Ahithophel spirit is a spirit of wrong advice. It is a spirit of giving up. It is a spirit of questioning. Always question the things of God. It is a question of betrayal, and it is a spirit that steals hope. Again, I say that if you're doing something and you don't have peace, it is not of God. If you're struggling at it and you have to work to make it work, it is not of God. You guys with me? Amen. This Ahithophel spirit will make the voice of the prophet seem like foolishness to you. And your own thoughts like wisdom and intelligence. You will hear the prophet speak and you will go home and do the contrary. Amen. Put on the screen for me Hosea chapter 9 verse 7 NIV version. Look at this. I'm almost done. Can I have 5 minutes? Hosea chapter 9 verse 7 NIV version. It says, the days of punishment are coming. The days of reckoning are at hand. Let Israel know this, because your sins are so many and your hostility so great. The prophet is considered a fool, an inspired person, a maniac. This Ahithophel spirit will make you to think that the voice of a prophet is foolishness, and that your own thoughts is seen as more intelligent above the voice of a prophet. Meaning that your ears can no longer take heed to the wise counsel of heaven. Because that's what the prophet does. It gives you wise counsel of heaven. You will no longer be able to hear it. Amen. So how do you destroy the spirit of Ahithophel? I think this is most important. Should I close? Some look really bored. Remember what I said. This is how you destroy the spirit of Ahithophel. It's very simple. It is in the scripture. Put on the screen for me again. Put on for me 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. Ahithophel's greatest strength was also his greatest weakness. The Bible calls him so intelligent that his intelligence bordered that of angels. And he considered himself so great that if his intelligence was not to be followed, his advice and counsel was not to be taken, that he would kill himself. It's a very powerful key line to that. How do you kill the spirits? And it says, and when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and his people. Deliverance. And arose and carried him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. The moment that his counsel was not considered nor taken, what did he do? He went and killed himself. So the moment that this voice comes to you and says that I think I should leave the church, I think I should leave this ego, I think I should no longer tie the rather pay off my bills, where it's removing you from the blessings of God, where it's removing you from the call of God, the moment that you turn your back on it, and you say, I will not take heed to your voice again, that thing will turn around, and it will go kill itself. You will not need to lift the hand, your opinion. You will let it leave, and it will go kill itself. That voice will be muted, and you will soon after hear the right counsel that is on heaven. Amen. Point number one, that's not actually how you do it, but okay, that's one of it. Point number one, you need to be patient in God's word. Don't make hasty decisions. Your patience is the thing that will expose that spirit. Your patience is the thing that will naturally expose that spirit. Amen? That thing that is causing you to feel anxious and worried, just be patient. When you feel worried and anxious about a decision that you need to make, it is Ahithophel speaking, and it wants you to make a quick decision so that you can quickly be removed of what God has ordained for you. Just be patient. There's no such thing as that you have to make a choice now whether you're going to take this job or not. No. There's no such things. Give me a day or two so that I can make the right choice. Any employer that wants you will wait. There's no such thing. Just be patient and wait until you make that choice. Until you make the decision, until you receive clarity over the situation, it will expose itself and will soon die. Amen? Noah had to patiently wait 100 years for the word of the Lord to come to pass. After God told him this and built this ark, he had to wait 100 years before the flood came. I guarantee you that a lot of Ahithophel spirits came and said, listen, you are crazy. It's been a week. Where's the rain? Now it's been 3 months. Come on now. Think. Maybe you heard wrong. It's been a year. It's been 50 years. What the heck is wrong with you now? You must be crazy. He had to wait 100 years. He was patient. I think exposed himself and was killed. Amen. It's another example, I can't get into it, I need to close off. The second way that you destroy the spirits is through fasting and praying. Say fasting. Many don't want to hear this. Say fasting. Say praying. Destroys the counsel of Ahithophel. This is how it works. The Bible speaks of a man called Haman. Another man called Mordecai. Haman was placed second in charge by the ruling king at that time. Amen? Now, I'm going to close over this. He was placed second in charge over the kingdom. And so the king said that when Haman will come in at the king's gates, that everyone must bow down. This king was a wicked king. Haman was a wicked man. And so Mordecai, a Jew standing at the gates, on one day, Haman came in. Everyone bowed except for one man. Mordecai refused to bow down to this king. Haman became so upset with the situation that he went on to the king and said that, listen, I hear the one speaking to the king, giving advice. Then listen, there's a nation that is rebelling against you. He's not giving the full story. He's saying that, listen, there's a nation that's rebelling against you. Give the decree so that we can annihilate the entire, he didn't say that, but so that we can annihilate this entire nation. Now obviously this is a severe penalty. And so this conspiracy went on for a year, where Haman came before the king day and night, asking, pleading, please put this decree into action so that we can take these people out. And they're coming against your kingdom. And so after paying the king more than $10 billion, the king decided, okay, I'm going to sign this decree. And it was released to annihilate the entire Jewish nation. mass genocide. Amen. What did Esther do? She said, listen, go. She sent a message and she said, go tell Mordecai, give him this message. Tell the people to fast and to pray for 3 days. I will go on to the king. Now, in those days, if you would go to the king without being summoned, you would immediately be put to death, right there in front of the king. I will go before the king without being summoned and I will plead. And so a night, now listen to this, a night before this great execution was to take place, the king couldn't sleep because of this matter. And he decided that he's going to read through the Chronicles. And he came to a certain peace. Now listen to this. At that moment, while he was reading the Chronicles, Haman came into the courts of the king. And the king read that, listen, there was a time that someone stood at the king's gates. A conspiracy was sent out against the king's life. And the man that heard it was Mordecai. And the king realized, but hang on, nothing was done, or he was not rewarded for what he's done. At that moment, Haman came into the king's court. And the king said, Haman, what shall be done? How can I honor the man that have honored me? He immediately thought that, listen, this is me. And he said, no, what you do with this such a man is you clothe him in royal robes, you place him upon the king's horse, and you parade him in front of everyone so that everyone can see and give him praise. And he said, I want you to do exactly that to Mordecai. Now you can imagine, hey? He was patient. He waited patiently. Now you can imagine, this wasn't over yet. Now Haman is angry. The execution is about to take place. Esther goes before the king. And the king releases his scepter and says, I approve. What can I do? And she says, my lord, can I have prepared a pamphlet for both you and for Haman. Haman didn't know the connection between Esther and Hannah Mordecai. And she said that, listen, I have prepared a pamphlet for both you and for Haman. Early in the morning, Haman was fetched. He went back home, very angry. And he told his friends and family what had taken place. And they said, listen, this execution is about to take place. Don't worry, Haman. I hit the bomb. Don't worry, Haman. Erect a column. And tomorrow when this execution takes place, he will hang all the guy and his family upon this gallows. He's like, yes, it's a good idea. They built this gallows. In the meantime, Haman is being fetched for the backwards. He's been brought in. He's thinking that, listen, this is awesome. I am being taken in high esteem. I am dining with the king and with the queen. And he was taken in. And the wife, when they sat down, the king asked, what can I do for you, my queen? And she said, what shall be done to the man that wants to destroy the people of the one that you love? And he said, who would do something so wicked and evil? And she pointed and said, this wicked Haman is the one guilty of this conspiracy. And the king got up and he said, take this man and his family and go hang upon the cannon that he had built before that appointment. I'm telling you this now. If you wait patiently, this morning, I see this Ahithophel spirit losing its hold over you. There's many standing here this morning, and this thing have given you wrong counsel and advice. You might be sitting here right now, and you've lost, already have lost everything. Your life has already been destroyed. I'm telling you that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and that your situation is about to be turned around. I'm telling you that God is going to pick you up. He's going to restore you. He's going to heal you. And that He's going to honor you before that of the enemy. Just close your eyes. Just raise your hands. Father, we thank you for this word that you have brought in this day. Pray, Father, that you will quiet every demonic voice speaking, every wicked counsel that has taken place, in the lives of the people that is here in this day. I pray that it be uprooted out of their lives, be destroyed, be taken out, that the effects that these lies have had already had over their lives, that it be reversed completely. For I see testimonies unfold before my very eyes even this morning. Father, I see you picking up your people. I see you speaking on their behalf. I see you restored, and I see that you heal. Even in this day, Lord, we love you. We worship. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. And we give you all of the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.